I think we have a quorum, so I'm going to call this to order. We have a real full agenda today. we have one bill up today. And before I do that, I'm actually hearing some funny stories about me right now. I was diagnosed with a blood cancer back in September, and I'm going through chemo. I'm typically pretty good shape. Doesn't get me down too badly, but I'm either really, really tired, really, really hungry, and it doesn't allow me to eat very much at a time, which is always kind of interesting. But, you know, I've always wanted my wife to cook me 5 or 6 meals in a day. She's not thrilled at that one, but...
But she's a great cook.
Yeah, well, she's smarter than to allow me to cook. So, the only words of advice is I typically have my treatments in the early part of the month. So if you're going to try and get anything by me, as I said to somebody yesterday, try and do it in the front end of the month when I'm kind of like... What the hell's going on? And if there's anyone at any concern, I am responding to treatment very, very, very well. Doctors have already taken me off a couple of the cancer drugs, so they say there should be no reason you shouldn't be water skiing and hiking all summer long. So I'm very happy with what has happened, you know, in much as I can be. So. I got a really big, I showed this to Jim yesterday. Apparently, when they stick a needle in you, it can leak once in a while. Yeah, really toxic stuff. So I got this big, like, fist-sized thing on my arm where it's like a rock. So, interesting. And every time you touch it, it hurts. So anyhow... Having said all that and got all the announcements we have, we have some new people here. Marta?
Yes, I'm Marta James. I'm in house research, and I will be covering this committee.
Yep. Let's see, who else? Oh, we got you, Josh. This is our CLA, our old one and our new one, our new CA. So we got a few new people here. And again, any of this, we don't have much of a budget this year, or at least that's the story. So pick your finance choices carefully. Because if you think I was a jerk last year, this is not going to be a really fun year or a good year to try any new big ideas, unfortunately, in this committee. Again, I was not encouraged in what my budget might be. So everyone's here to help. I don't know where Anna is, but, you know, what the hell. We don't get to work. Representative Moran, would you like to present your bill? Because I think we're going to send this to labor and then have it come back once we get a fiscal note.
All right. Well, good morning, committee. And just want to say, Chair Mahoney, thank you for sharing with us and I'm going to keep doing my prayers. So good morning, everyone. Chair Mahoney. So House File 3073, the Parenting and Pregnancy Bill, is a bill that allows mothers the ability to rest after giving birth and hold a job. Currently in the state law, a person must be on their job for a year in order to receive up to 12 weeks of unpaid time off after giving birth. What House File 3073 does is reduce that time from 12 months to 3 months that aligns with other employees' benefits and allow the new mother to have 6 weeks of unleave pay. This bill is specific for women giving birth before the 12-month mandate that is currently in law. We know that women are in the workforce in greater numbers. They are contributing financial factors in their household, who in a large number are contributing to the economic fabric in our state. Yet, in the state of Minnesota, I believe, maybe in some unintentional way, we are asking women to make a decision between working, starting, or expanding their family. and I will let my testifier explain a little bit more about that part. Without this change in law, we create a public health crisis in which women and mothers are forced to return to work immediately after giving birth or risking losing their job. The recommended time for a woman or a birthing parent to take off after having a baby is at least 6 weeks, according to medical professionals. So the National Center for Health Statistics shows that 16% of new moms took less than 4 weeks off of work after giving birth, and 33% took little or no time off, returning to work almost immediately. And research shows that shorter maternity leaves can interfere with recommended breastfeeding durations and may contribute to higher rates of depression among moms. And I know as we talk about the rate of maternal health, that this can be one of those contributing factors. And so with that, Chair Mahoney, I would like to introduce my testifier, Georgia Fort.
Good morning. I didn't quite hear as she introduced you, so I'll ask you to introduce yourself again for the tape, and please proceed.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Committee. Mahoney, I also wish you a speedy recovery with your medical issues.
I'm gonna suck this as dry as I possibly can.
We're rooting for
you. I get to pick vacation spots this year. I get all, it's got its upside. Not much, but a little.
Well, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here this morning. My name is Georgia Fort. I went from news anchor to unemployed because I decided to have a baby. I was terminated in the state of Minnesota because I was not eligible for FMLA. My termination at 9 months pregnant was legal. Under FMLA, as Representative Moran said, you have to work for 12 months before being eligible, and I gave birth at 11 months. I worked for 10 years to get to that point in my career, and I was knocked off the ladder, something all too familiar among women who decide to have a family. I started my career locally in public radio at KMOJ and eventually transitioned into news, climbing the ranks as a reporter. I garnered 2 Emmy nominations before I was promoted to anchor. 6 weeks after I gave birth, when the doctor said I could return to work, I wasn't able to because I didn't have a job. My unemployment lasted 9 months. I was finally offered a position as a communications associate at a local government agency. I was elated to have a job again, but when my husband and I found out that we were expecting again, something that should be a joyous moment, right? Our family's growing. I was devastated because this new position was actually classified as temporary, so I again was not eligible for maternity leave. This time, luckily, I wasn't terminated. I was given 2 weeks to work from home. But later I found out that this was also problematic. No daycares accept babies at 2 weeks old. Childcare centers only take babies 6 weeks old and older. The second issue with returning to work after 2 weeks is that, as Representative Moran said, the doctor recommends that you take 6 weeks off. So when I returned to work 2 weeks after giving birth, I started work on a Monday, and by Friday, I was rehospitalized from hemorrhaging. And if you've been following the news, you know that that is the leading cause of death rates among women who give birth. The truth is, financially, I needed the job, but at what cost? Was I willing to sacrifice my life in order to keep my job? A temporary position at that. And on a broader scale, I think that we should be asking ourselves, committee, why are we making women choose between their careers and their children? Giving adequate time off for childbirth will increase retention and prevent women from depending on unemployment and welfare. Giving adequate time off for childbirth will save lives. Right now, 1 in 4 moms are returning to work 10 days after giving birth against doctor's orders, and we cannot ignore the fact that this is contributing to the death rates. I've had people who have told me, well, you know what, Georgia, you should have had better family planning. And this is what I would tell those people. You tell a couple who has struggled to conceive for years that finally getting pregnant at the start of a new job is bad timing. And consider this. Although FMLA says that pregnancy is a medical condition, and short-term disability says that pregnancy is a disability, Article 16 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights says it's a human right. With this bill, childbirth leave would be more accessible. After 90 days of employment, you would be eligible for 6 weeks of unpaid leave. So why 90 days? It's when you typically get all of your other benefits. You get your health insurance, your 401k. And why 6 weeks unpaid leave? It honors what the doctors recommend without putting a financial burden on employers. I admit, we should consider this the minimum. Maybe in the future we can do more, but right now we need to do something. Women are losing their lives. Especially when we see other countries doing more for mothers with less. After all, our country is the only industrialized country without unpaid leave. Finally, to wrap things up, I just want you all to know that I'm here today because I have 3 daughters. And one day, I hope that they get to do that one thing that they've always dreamed of doing, like anchoring the news. And my hope is that when my daughters get that opportunity, and if your daughters get that opportunity, that it wouldn't be taken away from them because they decided to have a family. To make women choose between their career and their children in the state of Minnesota, where we have the resources to do more, it's just not fair. Thank you for your time.
Do you have any closing comments, Representative Moran?
I don't. No,
I'm gonna open it up for questions in a minute.
No, I don't.
Are there any questions?
Well, I should say I do. So you want me to do my closing comments now?
Just a minute.
Okay.
Are there any questions for Representative Haley?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you explain how your bill connects or coincides with FMLA?
Yes, so I believe the Department of Labor stated they would be here, but we're trying, so I did meet with the Commissioner of Labor, and as we went over the bill, she did not see a, she did not discuss a conflict with the 6 weeks of unpaid leave where we are currently. So I think with the FMLA, you get up to 12 weeks, but I think you can take at least 6 weeks too. So she didn't discuss a conflict.
Mr. Chair, can I have another question? Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Moran. Also a question, I was reading the language. Would this cover mothers who are adopting children as well?
For this particular bill, and you can respond too, but we were focusing on mother who are giving birth.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the impact of going back to work after birth.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah.
I have a question. Why wouldn't you want to include women, families who are adopting children versus just, I understand the medical piece to it and your particular issue that you had, but we all know that I'm just a pipe fitter. I like big pipes and big stuff that doesn't really bend or anything, like little kids do. I got two hours with the grandkid yesterday, so I was pretty happy. But that bonding is just as important as the physical health, the bonding with the child and making sure that child, you know, smells mom, smells dad, understands that particular piece, or just the rhythm of the household. So I would ask, between now and the time it comes back from the Labor Committee, that you figure out how to make parents that are adopting included with that 6 weeks off to at least bond with their young man or young woman.
Yeah, Mr. Chair Mahoney, I agree that bonding in those first, you know, weeks and months are critically important, but I'll also check to see whether or not that's already covered under FMLA, because maybe it is.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Ford, thank you for coming and sharing your story, and congratulations on three daughters. It must be a busy household.
It is.
The only thing I found a bit disturbing about your testimony was the rationale for the 90 days, that employees have to wait 90 days to get access to health insurance. Mm-hmm. And particularly in this context, the idea that we would expect the pregnant woman to go 3 months without access to prenatal care, when we know that good quality prenatal care is critical to the health of the mother and the baby. It almost seems like tying access to health insurance to employment isn't such a good idea. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for, you know, in keeping this discussion going, because it is important. I know there is no fiscal note, but do we have any idea or what a fiscal note like this would be?
Representative Backer, we will have that probably in a couple of weeks when this bill comes back to us to be voted out. Because we're going to just move it on to labor, because it has to go to the labor committee.
I just was wondering if there was any estimate, that's all. Okay.
You know, we're an organization that prides itself on doing it all right the first time, so we're not going to guess at a number. Representative Gunter, you had a question.
I think that pre-existing conditions, is pregnancy a pre-existing condition? You know, when you get employed on the 1st of July and you find out you're pregnant, will an insurance carrier insure your pregnancy? You know, I think that's a pretty important thing to do, because it might not, if we say that they have to cover that, the employer might have to pay the pregnancy or something. You know, I really think we should look into that. I think it's important. I know I'm a diabetic. Nobody will give me insurance, period, except the government.
There you go.
We're looking.
When you work for the government.
Representative Gunther, we are looking to that. You know, currently what we do know is that pregnancy is now deemed as a medical condition or a disability, which I think is neither one of those, neither. But we're looking to that.
I'm a 76-year-old non-grandpa.
Yes, sir.
I really wish to be a grandpa sometime. The time lapse hasn't closed yet.
I do want you to know that someone collapsed after taking care of her grandson all day. Mm. She collapsed at 5 o'clock last night.
Chair Mahoney.
Representative Gunter, I'll instruct the CA to take a look into that with research upstairs and get us some answers on it if we can.
Chair Mahoney, may I speak?
You sure can.
I think everyone has brought up very valid points, from the adoptive parents to the, you know, question about the pre-existing medical condition, and even looking at, you know, the health insurance piece being tied into employment. And I think that these issues are all related to some degree, but in researching and preparing for today, the one thing that I found is that most of the legal language is not presenting pregnancy as a human right. And if we really internalize what that means, that it's a human right, I think we really have to look at the legislation that controls pregnancy and pregnancy outcomes differently. Because then that means that we're influencing and we're in some ways dictating and restricting a human right. And it's under the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that is our human right. And so I just would encourage you all to look into it and to, you know, really kind of challenge yourselves. We have we have establishing law that has gotten us to this point, and we're making progress. But if we really grasp that understanding that this is our human right, it really changes the way that we should be dealing with pregnancy and family planning and families altogether. This is just, like I said during my speech, this is just the first step. I think that there's much more that needs to be done, but right now the urgency around this issue is the alarming maternal mortality rates. It's alarming, you know, and it's affecting the Black community, Black mothers. To be Black and pregnant right now is terrifying, because you walk into a hospital to give birth and you just don't know if you're going to walk out. And so by no means do I think that this bill is the end all to be all, but I think it's a great solution to an immediate crisis that's happening in our community right here in the state of Minnesota.
You know, I look at your situation, and maybe your industry that you were in, isn't the way, but for every 10 jobs that need to be filled, we only have five people, or a little over five people to fill them. Employers got to be awful careful what they do, or they're going to be set without any employees. And all you have to do is go into some Walmarts, and you'll find the shelves are being emptied. Can't find anybody to fill them.
Serves them right.
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, you know. So unless I see any other questions. Oh, Representative Baker, I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, thank you for sharing your journey here, Mr. Chair. We're with you all the way. I would like to maybe ask the author, 6 weeks of maternity leave, I'm confused. Is it 6 weeks or 12 weeks? It sounds like six isn't really enough, but I think I'm hearing some 12 from different versions of it. Will you help clarify your intent of this bill?
So in the bill, we're asking for 6 weeks of unpaid parental leave.
That's what the bill
is. 6 weeks, yes.
6 weeks, okay. Thank you.
And that was the FM, Representative Baker, that's the FMLA, that you can get up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave. But for this bill here, we're asking for 6 weeks. And it is specifically very narrow for women who are giving birth. Very specific. Because we're talking about health outcomes, health and impact. We're talking about the mother and child connection and relationship. So it's about birth.
Very good. Thank you.
Seeing no other questions. Oh, Representative Noor, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Moran, for bringing this bill. Thank you so much, Georgia, for sharing your story. So we know for sure that this will impact many communities of color, indigenous, who are underemployed, or, you know, who are receiving low income when it comes to employment. And when we see issues like, you know, pregnancy being terminated because you don't have the paid or unpaid family leave, that creates an equal balance in terms of economic issues. Can you talk a little bit about the issue of the underemployment when it comes to the leave? If somebody is underemployed and they cannot get any leave at all, how will this bill impact that group?
So what we know, I hope what we know is that women are in the workplace at a high number. You know, we are contributing to the economy. But we're also doing what we were created to do, and that is give birth, create a family, right? And so even low-income women, even women of color, you know, they want to contribute and be a part of modeling what that looks like. But when we have a barrier in place like this that says that, you know, you have to be on your job for 1 year, it really creates unhealthy outcomes, because they are making a decision about whether or not I'm going to stay at home with my child for the first 6 weeks of life, with all the medical profession said that is the minimum you should be doing, or go back to work because you need this job. And so it impacts, you know, women across the spectrum, families across the state of Minnesota, rural, urban, you know, communities of color, because they're making that decision. And I think in my, I quoted that 33% of women had birth and took no time off. 33%. That is huge. So I think we can do better. I think we must do better, be better. And I think, you know, as we think about employers and their ability to fill positions, I don't think we have a problem here in Minnesota for that. But the point of this bill is that women want to have families and they want to work. We're asking employers to give them 6 weeks to do that and know that what we're doing is a part of what we do. And so we just got to move our laws and our policies and our practice into the 21st century and let it align with where we are today in today's society.
Representative Robbins, did you have a question?
I did. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and our best wishes to you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair Moran, for bringing this bill. Thank you to your witness. I'm, you know, very sympathetic on this issue. I think supporting families and new moms and babies is very important, and it's part of our ethic in the pro-life community, and so this is very important to me. But I do just have a couple things that I don't think we can work it out here, but I would just like to see clarified. It seems like you're saying that the change to 90 days, I see very clearly in your proposal, but I don't see where it talks about the 6 weeks. And it seems like maybe the length of leave would still be the 12 weeks. So that's just something I would recommend, you know, getting clarity on going forward, maybe as an author's amendment or you know, at the next step. But to me, that whole discussion of the 6 weeks, I don't see it. So that's where I'm a little
confused. You don't see it in the bill?
I don't. Maybe I'm just missing it. So anyway, if you could just clarify your intent on that going forward, that would be very helpful to me. Hmm. Thank you.
She does. Well, why don't we get a couple comments from the experts over here. And if you need to get one of the books, go get it.
Thank you.
I need those all the time. Mm-hmm.
Chair, Representative, there's another part of Minnesota statute that covers the unpaid, the 6 week unpaid, and I will find that citation for you and provide that. And so that, it's not one of those. No.
Okay. And is it referenced in the statute just in a number somewhere? Or?
I do not believe it is directly referenced.
Okay. So I'm just looking for that clarification. Thank you.
And seeing how we have a lull while we're doing that, Mr. Gunther, I suspect you have read the minutes. And
absolutely. Approve them.
All those in favor of passing the minutes as written, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Minutes are passed. Okay. Were there any other questions? Any other questions? All right. The motion is to move this to the Labor Committee. All those in favor of passing House File 3073 to the Committee on Labor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. We'll see you again soon.
All right. Thank you so much.
As the Representative Baker.
Mr. Chair, after this bill was heard, I just wanted to ask the question about maybe your intention this year of revisiting some of the wage theft bill that we worked on so hard last year. I know I've had some meetings back in Wilmer, have had a number of concerns, and I think I've shared some of the tweaking I think that needs to be done for the bill. Can you give us some idea of maybe, are you planning on doing any tweaks to the wage theft bill from last year. Are you satisfied exactly where it's at? I know there's some issues with coaching and more than 30 days, and there's some folks in the disability world of workers that have some uniquenesses as well. Can you give us an idea of what you, if any, changes will be made this year or policy thoughts?
I love that. I think it's a beautiful piece of work.
Perfect.
And I know they, over in the Senate, are having a hearing on where they're at. That's probably what I will do over the department, where they're at with that. I'm told that they're working through most of those. They've got some suggestions that they would like, that they, you really don't need any legislation to change that. Basically, a good number of these, in the conversations I've had, people have been doing employment law wrong for many, many years. And this kind of caught up and said, no, this is the way it's supposed to be done. So people are not happy with that, but the law is the law. I'm expecting the department to come up with some solutions that might be workable for most people. And the coaches and I mean, you could get to be picky about it and make that an issue. I know the department has said time and time again, they're not going after a coach or a guy they get down out of the stands to see the reps or whatever. They're more worried about some of the things that you've seen in the last month or so with labor brokers and stuff like that, where they're basically housing them, feeding them, and then backcharging them, kind of like the sharecroppers of the 1800s. So I'll get them in here probably in a couple, 3 weeks, and we'll have at least an hour to go over what they're planning on doing, what they've found. It's going to give us their pathway to get to this as close as we can. Now, if the Senate wanted to take the independent contractor versus employee and take that one aside, and we could certainly make a good number of changes in the wage theft law, but I'm not interested in doing a lot of work on that. That was, I still have some nightmares over that. Another question, sir?
Mr. Chair, more just to follow up again, I supported the bill when it came off the final version on the House floor. I think it was overall a good bill, and I just want to make sure that I share a lot of our human resource managers. They want to do it right, mm-hmm. and they are paranoid about making a mistake. So I think what, if nothing else has happened, is that we've created this awareness of doing it right, because it's a lot of changes coming around, and I want to make sure that their extra paperwork, their extra filing, to make sure that the employee has good, clean notification of what we are wanting them to do. Because we have some bad players out there, and I'm with you on that. I just hope that we, as a body here that worked hard on that bill, we do have some opportunity to hear from folks that have some concerns, and we share that with the Senate and make sure that those people that want to do it right get it right, and so that there isn't this gotcha moments. We don't want to get people if they're honestly trying to do it right. But that, I think, is what I'm hoping that our work will be a lot of this year, is to make sure that that is right. I worked really hard on House File 400, the opioid reform bill. There's a huge bill, first in the country, and we've got some tweaks this year to make it perfect, more perfect. And so I just wanted to share that a lot of human resource department managers are asking me to make sure that we revisit some of those areas of concern, and I'm just doing that with that. So appreciate your hearing that. So thank you.
No, I think the commissioner needs to come in. They should be a lot less nervous about getting a paperwork snafu and getting spotted. And we should have the commissioner address that. She's told me time and time again that if I really wanted her to be that persnickety about the whole thing, I needed to give her a whole lot of FTEs, a whole lot more FTEs to live up to that. I think they have 7 new hires for that whole thing for the whole state. And what is it, 300,000 employers in the state of Minnesota? They can't get to that many.
And Mr. Chair, I hear that, and I know that I've shared that with large groups of people in that same question. It's like, that's not what they're going after. They're not trying to get you there. But what I do know is change and commissioners change and intent of rule changes down the road. So in 10 years, we might not have the intent there because you and I are both not here anymore. There's a new commissioner or two. And so I just want to make sure the language is right so that HR directors can sleep at night. So that's what I appreciate. Thank you.
We'll work on that. A couple, 3 weeks, we'll get the commissioner in here with some of her staff. Anything else that needs to be addressed today? We had a nice, easy one today. With that, we're done.